All right, let's dive deep into these ideas of finite and infinite games, especially in business. We've got some great excerpts from Simon Sinek's The Infinite Game here. What do you say we unpack what he's getting at? I'm super curious to see how it all connects to not just running a business, but also leadership and maybe even life itself, you know?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think most of us kind of understand those finite games without even realizing it.
Oh, for sure.
We're always thinking about goals, deadlines, winners and losers.
Yeah.
Like it's just built into us from when we're kids playing games to how most workplaces operate.
Totally. It's like that classic game of tag we all played as kids. Like, gotta tag you. It's so simple.
Exactly. You have that clear objective, tag someone else so they're it, and everyone knows where you can and can't go.
It's all laid out, yeah.
Right. But the thing Sinek really wants us to get is that there's this whole other type of game happening all the time. The infinite game. And it's different because there's no set ending, no fixed rules, and even the players can change over time. It's a whole different ballgame.
It's like always being in motion, I guess.
You got it.
Okay, so he uses football and space exploration as examples of these two types of games, right?
You do, yeah.
Football is like, tag, it's finite. You've got that set time, the rule book everyone follows, and at the end, there's one winner, right? But space exploration, that's infinite.
Definitely.
There might be setbacks like a rocket crashing or whatever, but the big game is that continuous exploration, you know,
yeah.
Like pushing those boundaries further and further, no matter what.
I love that example. The goalposts in space exploration are always moving.
Hmm.
There isn't just one winner because seeking out knowledge and making new discoveries, that never really ends.
So it really is about the journey and not just the destination.
Exactly. And this is where it gets really interesting, I think, when we start talking about business. Sinek's argument is that business, at its core, is an infinite game.
Okay, I'm following.
There's no final whistleblowing, no championship trophy to hoist up at the end. But here's the catch. So many leaders and companies approach business like it's a finite game. They get totally caught up in those short-term goals, quarterly reports, and beating the competition.
It's like that constant battle for market share or squeezing out every last bit of profit right now instead of thinking about the bigger picture.
You got it. Like they're missing the forest for the trees.
Oh. Hmm.
And Sinek uses some really powerful examples to show just how risky that approach can be.
I'm all ears.
He talks about Steve Ballmer's time as CEO at Microsoft, for example.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Remember the Zoom? They poured a ton of resources into all to try and beat Apple's iPod.
Yeah, I remember.
They were playing a finite game, like, yeah. We got to win the MP3 player market.
And totally.
But in doing that, they kind of missed the bigger picture, you know? Technology was changing so rapidly and being so focused on just that one product, even if it was a good one, like the Zune, ended up holding them back.
Oh, I see.
They were stuck playing checkers when Apple had moved on to chess, strategically speaking.
That's a great analogy.
It really is. And it wasn't just Microsoft. Sinek brings up other examples too, like how John Sculley's focus on going head-to-head with IBM at Apple might have actually squashed some of the company's innovation back then.
Makes you think, huh?
Yeah, for sure.
And, of course, we can't forget Kodak. They practically invented the digital camera and then just sat on it. I mean, that's wild, right?
It is. All because they were scared it would hurt their film business, you know? It's like the textbook example of how a finite mindset can completely blindside you in the infinite game of business.
Yeah, they missed the boat big time.
For sure. And so all these examples that really highlight why we need a totally different approach, right? Like one that recognizes that business is a marathon, not a sprint, and that creating lasting value is what really matters in the long run.
So how do you do that? Where do you even start?
Well, that's where Sinek brings in this really powerful idea of a just cause.
Okay, break that down for me.
Think of it as defining your purpose, but it goes way beyond just making money. It's like a cause that guides everything your company does, every decision you make.
So it's like a North Star guiding your business, even when things get tough.
You got it. A just cause goes beyond those short-term goals and gives everyone involved a real sense of meaning.
I like that. Purpose-driven.
Exactly. And Sinek gives some super inspiring examples of just causes from history.
Yeah.
Like, think about the founding fathers.
Okay.
They were fighting for equality, for a whole new way of governing. That's a just cause in action.
Definitely.
Or Sam Walton's vision for Walmart to serve working class Americans by offering them consistently low prices.
Right. So it's not just about profits, but about making a real difference in people's lives.
Exactly. Or George Eastman wanting to make photography accessible to everyone with the Kodak camera. Like, these weren't about getting rich quick. They were about making a real impact on the world.
Wow, when you put it like that, it really puts things in perspective.
It does. Right. And it brings us to another super important part of playing this infinite game. The kind of leadership it takes.
Oh, that's interesting. So are you saying that the typical CEO, the one obsessed with those quarterly earnings and stock prices, might not be the best fit for this long game?
Well, that's what Sinek argues. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he introduces this really cool idea of a chief visionary officer, or a CVO.
Okay, I like the sound of that. Chief visionary officer.
Has a nice ring to it, right?
It does.
So imagine the CVO as the person who really champions that just cause, making sure the company stays true to its purpose, even when there's pressure to just focus on the short term.
I see.
It might be someone like a COO or CFO, someone who's got that financial know-how, but also gets the big picture. You know?
Yeah, someone who can balance the books and inspire at the same time.
That's the idea.
Okay. But it can't just be about having one visionary leader at the top, right? You need a whole team to actually make that vision a reality. Sinek talks a lot about trusting teams in his book, right?
He does. And it's a big part of the infinite game.
So what's that all about? What makes a team a trusting team?
A trusting team is all about creating that culture where people feel safe, being vulnerable, being okay with admitting their mistakes and asking for help without feeling judged, you know?
So it's about building that psychological safety net.
Absolutely.
Where?
Because if everyone's too scared to speak up or admit they messed up, especially in a high-stakes environment, well, that's a recipe for disaster.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right. And Sinek points to some really cool examples of these trusting teams in action out in the real world. Like, there's this story about Rick Fox, an oil rig manager who worked with a consultant to really build that kind of openness and communication on his rig.
Wow, that's a tough environment to do that in.
It is. They literally had to break down walls, both figuratively and literally, to get everyone on the same page.
That's amazing.
But the results were incredible. They saw improved safety, better performance on the team, and just this whole new sense of camaraderie.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, and then there's Jack Colley, who totally changed the Castle Rock Police Department by making officer well-being and engaging with the community their top priorities.
I'm intrigued. How did he do that?
Well, he started this awesome program called Dirt, Jumps, and Donuts. It's basically just officers hanging out with kids in the community, riding bikes together.
Oh, wow. That's so cool.
Right. It might seem like a small thing, but it created this whole foundation of trust and understanding between the police and the people they were there to protect.
That's such a great example of how powerful these seemingly simple acts can be.
Exactly. But Sinek also warns us about this potential danger, this trap we can fall into when we prioritize winning in the short term, no matter what. He calls it ethical fading.
Ethical fading. That sounds ominous.
It is kind of scary when you think about it. It's like the slippery slope where you start prioritizing winning above everything else, even if it means bending the rules or compromising your values.
It's like you're so focused on the goal that you lose sight of what's right and wrong.
Yeah, exactly. And he doesn't shy away from giving some tough examples. He talks about the Wells Fargo fake accounts scandal, where employees were pushed so hard to hit those crazy sales goals that they ended up opening millions of accounts without people's consent.
Yeah, I remember that. That was a huge mess.
It was. And it's a stark reminder of what can happen when the pressure to win completely overshadows doing what's ethical.
It's like losing your moral compass.
Totally. And he also brings up Mylan, the company that makes the EpiPen.
Oh, right. The life-saving allergy medication?
Yeah. They jacked up the price of it by like 500%.
Yeah, I remember reading about that. It sparked so much outrage.
And for good reason. It just felt like they completely threw basic human decency out the window to chase bigger profits.
So heartbreaking, especially for the families who relied on that medication.
Yeah, for sure. And Sinek's argument is that we all need to be super careful not to let this ethical drift happen, especially when the rules of the game, as they say, seem to reward winning at any cost.
It's so easy to fall into those traps, to use those justifications we all tell ourselves. Everyone else is doing it, or it's just business.
Exactly. We've all probably said those things at some point. But Sinek has a potential solution he proposes, finding what he calls worthy rivals to help keep us on track and push us to be better.
Okay, worthy rivals. Now, when I hear rival, I instantly think of cutthroat competition, but I'm guessing Sinek's got a different take on it.
He does. He says that worthy rivals aren't enemies to be crushed, but inspirations. They're forces that push us to improve and come up with new ideas. It's a more positive spin on rivalry.
Okay, so they're like friendly competitors, like pushing each other to be better.
Exactly. He gives the example of the rivalry between Chris Everett Lloyd and Martina Navratilova, two tennis legends. They pushed each other to play their absolute best, and in the end, the whole sport benefited.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Or even think about the Cold War between the U.S. and the Soviet Union. Scary time, for sure, but it also led to incredible advancements in science and technology.
So that competition, even though it was super intense, actually pushed both sides to innovate and become better.
You got it. And then there's the classic one, Apple versus IBM in the personal computer market. They're back and forth, constantly one-upping each other, led to technology evolving super fast, which benefited everyone using computers.
That's a great point. I never thought about it like that.
It's all about perspective, right? And these examples show how rivalry, when it's channeled the right way, can actually be a super powerful force for good.
So how do we apply this idea of worthy rivals to our own lives and work? Like, who are the people or organizations that inspire us to step up our game?
That's a great question. It's all about recognizing that even in competitive environments, there's always something to learn from others. It's about finding those people who make us want to be better.
It's like they say, iron sharpens iron, right?
Exactly. And this brings us to another key idea in Senek's framework, existential flexibility.
Ooh, that sounds deep. Existential flexibility. What's that all about?
It's about being able to shake things up, to disrupt the status quo, even when it's uncomfortable, all in service of your just cause.
So it's not just about adapting, but about being willing to completely flip the script, if that's what it takes to achieve your purpose.
You got it. Sinek has some compelling examples, like how Walt Disney actually left his own company to create Disneyland because he felt so stifled.
Wow, seriously?
Yeah. Imagine the guts it took to walk away from something successful to go after an even bigger vision.
That's incredible.
And then there's Steve Jobs, who went all in on the graphical user interface, even though Apple had already invested tons in a totally different approach.
So he basically changed the whole game plan.
He did. And then there's CVS, the drugstore chain. Their decision to stop selling cigarettes was huge.
Yeah, that was a big deal. I remember that.
It was super controversial, and they definitely took a financial hit at first, but it fit perfectly with their just cause of promoting health and well-being.
So it was about more than just profits.
Exactly. And then there's Doug Parker, the CEO of American Airlines.
Oh, yeah. What about him?
He faced this situation where they had locked their employees into lower-paying contracts during a really tough time for the airline.
Okay.
Well, when things started looking good again, there was all this pressure from Wall Street to just stick with those contracts, you know?
Right, because it would make them a ton of money.
Exactly. They were in a position to really cash in.
So they could have made a huge profit by basically taking advantage of a tough situation.
Yeah. It
seems like a classic finite game move.
It would have been so easy, right?
Yeah.
But Parker knew, deep down, that doing that would go against the company's values.
It would break the trust they had built with their employees.
Absolutely.
So what did he do? Spill the tea.
Well, even though he got pushback from analysts and some investors, he went ahead and gave those employees a raise.
Really?
Yeah. Right in the middle of their contract. It cost the company millions in the short term, but it sent a huge message about how much they valued their people.
Wow. That's putting your money where your mouth is.
Talk about leading by example, right? And Sinek highlights that Parker's decision wasn't just about doing the right thing. It was about playing that infinite game we've been talking about.
He was playing the long game.
Exactly. Parker understood that building trust and loyalty with his employees, that was way more important for the company's long-term success than squeezing out a few extra bucks right then.
Reminds me of that saying, culture eats strategy for breakfast. You can have the best strategy in the world, but if your company culture doesn't support it, you're going nowhere.
100% agree. And what's even cooler is that Parker himself seems to have had this aha moment during all this.
Really? Yeah, what happened?
He realized that his true purpose, his just cause, was to build a company where people felt valued, where they could thrive. And that became his guiding principle for every decision he made from then on.
That's a great story. So after this deep dive into all these concepts, the infinite game, just cause, trusting teams, it's pretty inspiring stuff, no doubt. But how do we actually use these ideas in our own lives and work, you know? It can feel kind of overwhelming, to be honest.
Right. It's a lot to take in. But honestly, I think it all starts with a shift in how we see things. Like, we have to recognize that most of the games we're playing in our careers, in our businesses, even in our relationships, they're all infinite games at their core.
It's about letting go of that winner-takes-all mentality that's so ingrained in us and embracing the idea that it's a journey without a finish line.
You got it. And Simic has some practical advice on how to start living with that infinite mindset. First up, define your just cause. Figure out what that bigger purpose is that really drives you, you know?
What impact do you want to make on the world?
Exactly. What are you passionate about? What kind of positive change do you want to see? It can be as big as solving world hunger or as simple as being a really supportive friend, you know?
So it's about finding that North Star that guides you and gives your life meaning even when things get tough.
That's it. And second, Sinek says, build trusting teams. Like, really focus on making that environment where people feel comfortable being vulnerable, speaking their minds, and challenging each other without fear of judgment.
Create that space where everyone can be their authentic selves, basically.
Exactly. And remember, trust doesn't happen overnight. It takes time, and you have to keep working at it. As a leader, it means being vulnerable yourself and showing that you value honesty and open communication.
It's like walking the walk, not just talking the talk.
Precisely. And the third bit of advice from Sinek is to be super careful about that ethical fading we talked about earlier.
Right, because it's so easy to lose sight of your ethical compass when you're caught up in the daily grind.
It really is. It's like we put on these blinders and all we can see is that immediate goal. We completely forget about the consequences of our actions, you know?
And Sinek calls us out on those justifications we use all the time, like, it's just how business is done or everybody else does it.
Oh, for sure. Those rationalizations are super dangerous. They can slowly chip away at your values without you even realizing it.
That's like a slow poison, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have to keep checking in with ourselves and making sure our actions line up with our just cause and our ethical principles.
Like having that inner voice asking, would I feel good explaining this decision to someone I really respect?
Love that. That's a great way to think about it. Okay, so the fourth piece of advice is about those worthy rivals we discussed earlier.
Right, the ones who push us to be better, to up our game.
Yeah, and it's all about shifting your perspective from I have to beat them to I can learn and grow alongside them.
So it's not about copying them, but about being inspired by them to push yourself further, to innovate in new ways.
Exactly, like having a training partner who pushes you to run faster or lift heavier weights. They help you reach your full potential, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. Competition can be a good motivator as long as it's healthy.
Totally. And then Sinek's fifth piece of advice is all about that existential flexibility we talked about before.
Right, the ability to shake things up, to break the mold.
Exactly. It's about being brave enough to say what worked in the past might not work now. And then being willing to make those big, bold moves even when it feels kind of scary.
I guess that's where the existential part comes in, huh? It's about questioning everything and being open to new possibilities.
You got it. And then finally, Sinek reminds us about the importance of having the courage to lead.
Which, as we discussed before, is about more than just making tough calls.
It totally is. Leading with that infinite mindset takes a different kind of bravery. It's about having the guts to stick to your just cause, even when it's not popular, even when people doubt you.
It's about leading by example, inspiring others to play the infinite game with you.
Exactly. It's about making choices that prioritize the long term over the short term and standing up for your values, even when it's tough.
And at the end of the day, it's about building something that lasts, about leaving a legacy. It's about making a real difference in the world, not just for yourself, but for others.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And one of the coolest things Sinek points out in his book is that leading with this infinite mindset, it's not just about crushing it in the business world.
It's about living a better life, a more fulfilling life.
Exactly. It's about finding your purpose, feeling like you're part of something bigger than yourself. And that can change everything, you know?
It can change how you see the world.
It really can. And what's even more amazing is that this shift from thinking in finite terms to embracing the infinite game, it can impact way more than just your work. It can transform your relationships, your communities, even society as a whole.
It's like a ripple effect, spreading outward and creating positive change everywhere it goes.
That's a beautiful way to put it. So as we wrap up our deep dive into the infinite game, I'm left with this one big question for you to think about.
Hit me with it.
What's your just cause? What's that thing that gets you fired up that gives your life meaning?
What kind of mark do you want to leave on the world?
Because when you find that, when you embrace that infinite mindset, it unlocks this whole new level of motivation and fulfillment that can honestly change your entire experience of life.
Powerful stuff. Thanks for taking this deep dive with me.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure.
Man, after going so deep into SNCC's The Infinite Game, I'm really left thinking about a lot of things. It's like he's given us this whole new way of looking at not just business, but life in general.
It is a powerful framework, that's for sure. And one of the things that really stood out to me was how Sinek points out that we mix up finite success with that feeling of deep satisfaction that comes with playing the infinite game.
Yeah, it's easy to get caught up in chasing those external signs of success, right? Like getting that promotion, winning those awards, or that bigger paycheck. But those don't always guarantee you'll be happy or fulfilled in the long run.
It's like that feeling of finally climbing to the top of a mountain, and then you realize there's another, even taller peak in the distance.
And so you start climbing all over again, always looking for that next goal, that next big achievement.
Yeah, but what Sinek is saying is that true fulfillment doesn't come from those external things. It's something deeper.
More internal, right?
It is like aligning yourself with a just cause, something that makes your life truly meaningful, something that gives you purpose beyond just chasing those fleeting moments of success.
It's like finding that thing that gets you out of bed each morning with a real sense of excitement and purpose, you know, like you're part of something bigger than yourself.
Exactly. That's where that whole idea of the infinite game becomes so powerful. It's not about getting to a specific endpoint. It's about playing the game in a way that makes it better, that leaves something positive behind for the people who come after you.
Makes me think about those people throughout history who have really left their mark on the world. They weren't just obsessed with winning. They were guided by a vision, a desire to make a real difference.
Absolutely. And that brings us back to Sinek's concept of existential flexibility, right?
Right. The ability to shake things up and step outside our comfort zones.
Because it's so easy to get stuck in our routines, in those old ways of thinking.
It's comfortable, but it can also hold you back.
It can. But as we've seen with people like Walt Disney or Steve Jobs, sometimes those huge breakthroughs happen when you're willing to disrupt the status quo, to question everything, including your own assumptions, and just try something radically different.
It's about having the guts to say, this isn't working. We need to find a new way.
Exactly. And you can apply that not just in business, but in all parts of life. Relationships, creative endeavors, even just how you approach your own personal growth.
It's a whole new way of
It
thinking.
is. It's all about asking yourself, how can I make this better? How can I adapt and evolve as things change around me?
And that connects so well with Sinek's point about the courage to lead. It's about having that deep conviction to stick to your just cause, even when it's hard, even when people doubt you.
It's about being the example. You know, inspiring those around you to play that infinite game too.
Didn't Sinek tell that story about Doug Parker, the CEO of American
He
Airlines?
did, yeah. The guy who was under so much pressure to prioritize profits, even if it meant sacrificing the well-being of his employees.
But he ultimately chose to do what he felt was right.
He did, even if it meant losing money, potentially even upsetting investors. Remember, he gave those employees a raise right in the middle of their contracts. All because it aligned with his just cause of creating a company where people felt valued, where they could flourish.
That's some serious courage. It really shows that leadership isn't about taking the easy route, it's about doing the right thing, even when it's hard.
And what's amazing is that Parker's decision wasn't just ethically sound, it turned out to be smart business too. Morale went up, people were more loyal to the company, and American Airlines' reputation got a boost. Proof that sometimes doing the right thing really does pay off in the long run.
It's so inspiring to see these ideas actually playing out in the real world. It makes me feel hopeful, you know, that even in a world where everything feels so short-sighted and focused on instant gratification, we can still aim for something bigger, something more meaningful.
Absolutely. It's about changing the game, really.
Yeah, it's about playing a different game altogether.
That's a great way to put it. So, as we wrap up our deep dive into the infinite game, I want to leave you with this. What's your just cause? What's that thing that gets you excited, that gives your life that sense of purpose? What kind of legacy do you want to leave behind? What's your infinite game? Those are questions worth thinking about, not just in terms of your work, but in every single part of your life. Because when you figure out your just cause, when you embrace that infinite mindset, it unlocks this incredible wellspring of motivation and fulfillment that can honestly change how you experience the world.
So well said. I think that's a perfect place to end our deep dive. Thanks for joining me on this journey. I think we both have a lot to think about.
I definitely do. Thanks for having me.